Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Fans in the Sand this Saturday. I can see the sun coming around. At Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. I feel my feet tripping over everything. The fun starts at 1 with Mangria, Endless Rant, and Cornhole on the Beach. Plus, roses and cigarettes. So I take another shot of whiskey down. One for me, one for you. Cabanas and fire pits available. Bands in the Sand with Loxy. But I can help you go follow your woman through anything. Stick around for music from K-Rock's DJ Richard Blade. Bands in the Sand, The Smokin' Kills. Falling, falling like the rain. For more, follow at Carolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com. Falling down. Bands in the Sand this Saturday. Free music, ocean, Carolla drinks. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Alonzo Bowden. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, after this, he's heading off to take the merry out of merry old England. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. And we appreciate you sharing this with someone you know would enjoy it. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Ugh, here we go.
Why'd you play that? What are you insinuating?
I was just yelling at Max Zapata because he's trying to get me to kill myself.
How's it going?
It's good.
Oh,
the
right
killing
track,
of myself?
Kill yourself,
I'm getting close. Yeah. I have this weird relationship with the world, which is nobody really fully understands
true
what
words.
I'm saying.
Never spoken.
So I'll give you an example. I'll give you like a prime example of sort of my life. First, I'll... Thank the sponsors for this half of the show, Hymns. You go to 4hymns.com/Adam. Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us your car questions over there. And Simply Safe. SimplySafe.com/Adam. I am busy, and I feel like there's either way too much communication or not enough communication, but it's never just right. And here's what I want to say. I have it happen all the time where I send a guy to Home Depot and I go get some carriage bolts and make sure they're fine thread carriage bolts or something like that, 3/8. And then they go, and at some point they come home with 1/4-inch carriage bolts, and I'll go, what happened? And they'll go, they didn't have the 3/8. They had the 1/4-inch or they had the 1/2-inch. So I didn't know.
I took the liberty.
I just took the 1/4-inch. And I go, well, I want beefier, not thinner. I'd rather step it up to the 1/2-inch.
But
they go,
those are 29-cent items.
Like, right.
And don't get them all.
And also, do you own a phone? Do you own a phone? Do I own a phone? I like to bait people into these conversations where I go, do you have a cell phone? And they go,
you're like a lawyer that knows the answer to the question.
So we both agree you have a phone.
And they go, yeah. And I go, do I have a cell phone? They go, yeah. And I go, do you have my number? They go, yeah. I go, okay. Well, next time you're at this quandary at the hardware section, it's intersection, you either buy both or you call me.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, amongst the blue collar guys, there's a lot of, the guys I like, there's a lot of like, yeah, I didn't know what you wanted to do, so I ordered. And I'm like, I show up every day at 9:45 in the morning. Next time you think I didn't know what you wanted to do, just wait it out. And I know you get here at 8 in the morning. Wait till 9:45. I'll walk through the fucking door, and then you can ask me what to do. They just like, hey, I didn't know which way you want to go on this, so I just went that way. And I'm always like, I'm here every single day. Just please wait and ask me. Just ask me. Okay, so there's a lot of that on that side.
Now that you've said it, problem solved.
On the white collar side, there's a lot of, I'll talk to Tony, the editor. We're working on finishing touches on Uppity. There's a stand-up special. There's me and Kimmel doing a stand-up thing. There's a Carol Shelby doc. And can you carve out some time and get in the edit bay with me? And I will say to him at 11 in the morning, yeah, I'll be there mid-afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock. I'll be done. I'll have some time. And then at some point, Matt will run me down at like 2:15 and be like, I got an email from Tony. Wants to know if you're coming by. And it's like,
established.
Yes, I shall be doing the thing that we spoke about 2 hours and 41 minutes earlier. The super sober guy during the day. Weekdays, when he's not traveling.
Daylight hours.
Yeah. Though that guy will be doing what he said he was going to do earlier with you, because right. that's all I do. And I don't know, this thing you can go like, well, we're just playing it safe. And it's like, okay, but play it safe at 4 p.m. It's 2:15. I told you I was going to be there in the mid-afternoon or after 2 or whatever it is. You don't have to check. These are the sort of people, I don't know, it's like, we're going to go out to dinner. What time? We're going out to lunch. Good. Meet you at the restaurant at 1 o'clock. Don't send me a text at 12:45. I don't know if we're still on or where are you or whatever. Just wait. I'll be there. Yeah. I feel like the text and the email, it's gotten, the people with the college degrees have gotten a little too happy with that stuff. And the people, the blue collar guys, are in blue collar because they want to be left alone.
Yeah, there's a divide.
What the guys in the blue collar world, their dream is to not have people talk to them at work. That's why they're attracted to doing fabricating.
Things like that make loud noises.
Yeah. Yes, the guys who do fabricating, they want to be left, literally, even if they like you, they don't want you around. Now, I'm not wired that way. I like talking to people and yelling at people at work and all that stuff, but that's how it works. Now,
my uncle, my godfather, had a shop. It was a real car guy. Had a shop, a smaller version of this, but it had his cars. It had his beloved Chevelles and Chevettes, and he had his jukebox and his 45s, like original 45s. I suspect he mostly liked it because he got to get away from everyone and everything in his life. You know, the cars were nice, but he got to get away and play his music and be loud.
So I just had this thing. So what I'm trying to do is 19 things at once. And so I'm trying to streamline things as best I can. And, I've had the conversation with Lynette a few times, which is please have a list, get it onto your list and then let me get it off of my list onto your list, and then I'll be freed up. I circling back and wanting to know what happened with, and did you talk to, and didn't we talk about that already? And then how come
takes as much time as the thing itself,
right? And then there's a lot of stuff where it's like you tell someone to do something, and then you leave, and then at some point you come back, and then you go, did you do that? And they go, yeah, I didn't know what you wanted to do. I get a lot of like, I didn't know what you wanted to do, and I'm like, I told you what I wanted to do, but all right. This is now in preparation for going to Goodwood and running up the hill at Goodwood, as you guys know. I have. Now, it's all about wiring, and some people are wired to worry, and I'm sort of wired to move forward.
What's that like? That sounds great.
It's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Jew sharks. They have Jew shark lawyers who bilk clients and the public and businesses out of money. But there's no Jew sharks.
They wear sharkskin suits. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. They have Makos and hammerheads and great whites, but no great Jew shark.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? Can you think of a Jew shark?
Not off the top of my head, no.
And what's the shark? That's close.
Yeah, what's the shark known for? Swimming forward.
If it ever stops, it dies.
Yeah.
They can't ring.
No hand ringing.
The flippers. They don't even have hands to ring. And how are you going to Jew someone down in the ocean? You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you 5 seashells for that.
For that handful of krill.
Yeah, handful of krill. Now, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
That's a good point.
So.
Move forward.
I'm wired to move forward, but also sort of try to fix things as I go forward. And we have decided that while I'm at Goodwood and running the car and everything, why not have a custom fire suit with our logo and other logos and things on it? Yeah. I'm going to be working on camera, blah blah blah. So why not do it that way? So, of course, there's a little question of we got to make sure Adam brings the new fire suit, not the old fire suit, the new fire suit. Someone's got to pick it up. It's at the embroiderer, blah, blah, blah. Now, I have a big table in the back of the other warehouse where I just sit and do my work in between work. And I also, it's where the other warehouse where the race suits are, I have bags that are equipment bags for car racing stuff, the helmet bag and equipment. It's all very in the back of the other shop. Everyone's aware of it. And I also have my red race suit laid out on the sofa back there that everyone walks past and sees and all that. And the way I work, and I would suggest everyone do this. It's not a coincidence that that red race suit is sprawled out sort of on display on the back sofa. It's there to remind me, don't bring this. Mm. Bring the blue one. Like, I want to see it. Right. I've thought about the blue race suit 121 times. When's it coming back? When are we getting it from Sparco? Blah, blah, blah. And I leave that out because I almost want to trip over it. I will take things sometimes and literally set them in the middle of the room mm-hmm. in a path to like trip over. So I know if I'm going to the back shop and I'm leaving for this shop, I'll step over it. I got too much on my mind. So this thing is like laid out. So everyone at the other shop knows that this is all where my racing equipment and everything is. And then we get the email from Nate, like, where we got to get Adam the fire suit. What should we do? Well, the fire suit is at the other shop with all the other guys, with my equipment and with my fire suits. And everyone knows that my table's in the back and everything I own and everything I want is like laid out on the sofa or laid out in the back. When I pack to go for a race, all the stuff comes out, sits on the sofa where it is now. The bag gets gone through and then it gets packed. So how do you make sure Adam gets this fire suit? Well, and Adam is in and out of this studio and that studio all day long. So somebody has to fire an email off to Matt DeAndrea. Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt DeAndrea, what should we do with this fire suit? How do we make sure Adam gets it? Matt lives in Venice and I talk to him. I don't see him every day. Right. Matt replies back. Put it with his racing equipment where you are. This is where you are. You're with his equipment. He literally says it's 30 feet behind you. Lay it out there.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a little more discussion about it. And at some point yesterday, I walk out of the studio and there it is sitting over here, which was brought over here from where it was. At the other place, and somebody was informed to take it
here.
I was like, what? I yelled at everyone over there. I said, look, are we dumb or are we retarded? I want to know. I hope we're just dumb, but we may be retarded. How can this happen that you've been, first off, I don't know how you don't think of this.
But
you were just told, I don't know why you had to reach out to Matt DeAndrea, who's not retarded or dumb, but why you have to reach out to him and why he just goes, just you work at the shop where all the equipment is, just put it in the back on top of the thing. So it turned out that at some point when my nephew Finn was told, then they reached out to Matt Fondelier. They're like, we have not spoken to enough Matts about this.
Can we create more Matts for the express purpose of contacting them about this?
Then Brian, who won't eat anything, reached out to Matt Fondelier and said, hey, Matt, where should we put this fire suit? Now, I'm there every day. And so is my equipment. So is everything. I walk past people. You can say to me, hey, we're getting this fire suit. What shall we do with it? Or you can just see how you've walked past the other fire suit in the back or all the equipment, which is out on the sofa or my table or whatever. But then he gets reached out to Matt.
Why not take the scenic route?
And Matt says, Adam has a table where he takes care of his business. Put it on that table, which is a good. If you'd like me to find something. Mm-hmm. It drives me insane where there's like somebody goes, hey, this arrived for you. So I put it up on the shelf in the storage room. And it's like, why don't you just set it where you know I sit every day? It'll be a much higher likelihood of me stumbling upon this thing. Anyway, the discussion somehow got translated into the table that's out front here, that's where
tables.
Now, we all know the table.
You know why it got screwed up? Because we asked too many people a dumb question that was very answerable. and was told the answer to, and you could have deduced it very easily. There was too many
cooks in the kitchen.
So on the blue collar world, not enough conversation. The white collar world, there was too many back and forths about this, and somebody could have went, well, Adam's here every day. Why don't we just hand it to him when he walks in, or where's his table, or where is Adam's racing gear? Because here's the trick. It's not like I ever show up to a race in a fire suit, barefoot, with no helmet or gloves or anything, like Jethro. I'm like, you need the whole kit and caboodle. You need the helmet. You need the Hans device. You need the shoes. Sure. You need the socks. You need the long johns. It's all there. As a matter of fact, Sparko gave me some new long johns and a hood for my head and everything, and I took it all and set it where everything is. So that's your little indicator of, here is the gathering area of Adam's stuff. Now, if you'd like to get it separated from all the stuff, bring it to the shop where all the stuff isn't, and then... All right. Someone go take a picture of all that stuff just so I can scream about these guys to that. You can just tell them to do it. Yes.
When's your flight? Today? Tomorrow?
It's tonight.
Yeah. How packed are you?
I'm excited. I'm zero packed. I did nothing because I have a window of about 2 hours of in between all the junk I have to do, and that's when I shall make my move.
Do you have an international jerk pod?
A Gary pod.
Yeah.
Yes. No, that's another very long and frustrating story involving money and confusion and things of that nature, where I was actually flying coach.
No,
oy vey.
Or
what are you, us?
Coach Plus, because of some confusion about what was at the top of the Virgin thing and British Air. There's a more confusion. More confusion. But either way.
Hope you're in exit row.
The Economy Plus is a nice cushion to land on. It's not first class, but you're not squeezed in like coach.
I got up to business for
whatever that category is.
No, that's the problem. There's first class, there's business, there's Economy Plus, and then there's economy. There are four slots, not three slots. The way they do it on their website is it sort of looks like three. They don't tell you the price of that.
Typically,
so we went for the silver, but the silver was the bronze, and we never figured that one out until the end.
It's weird when the bronze, silver, gold, but then there's a platinum. You know what I mean? Like your calibration's all off.
A double platinum.
Now, there's a diamond level. So I don't know where I am now.
Well, I'm trying to figure this out because I said, you know, I don't know anything, but I know everything, right? I said, Matt Vondelier said, well, it's between Virgin, Atlantic or Virgin, whatever, and British Airways. And I said, oh, I bet you Virgin's going to be a better price in business than British Airways. And he went, no, actually, British Airways has a better price. And I was like, oh, they do. Okay. Well, then we'll go with that. Huh. But we were comparing Virgin Atlantic business to Coach Plus.
Right.
But we didn't know it. So I had the, I guess it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go with British. Meanwhile, it was in coach, and then we worked it out. It was very expensive.
Let's be comfortable.
It's awesome. All right, we got some calls up there. Alonzo Bowden is coming out. We got stuff to get to. Max Pat, I'll put on your list. Dr. Drew explained that there are dogs now being trained to sniff for cancer, and there's a lot of research on that. It's going very well, which is something I suggested 20 years ago.
We suggested HPV. I started
with venereal diseases.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
And HPV, and then I moved on to cancer after I realized that. And it was another one of Adam Carolla's insane ideas from 1999. They're now doing, but it's rectal cancer is what Drew said.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Well, they like to get in there.
I was going
to
say.
Sweet spot. I guess it is. I guess it's the greatest thing ever. I'm thinking through the eyes of a human being. Uh-huh. Like for me, I'd rather work the vagine area than the dude's ass. But for a dog,
that's
perfect.
Sweet spot.
Yeah.
Just bring it to the Bachelorette casting call.
Yes.
That's how you weed them out.
Yes.
They don't even have to do a verbal interview.
I'll just stand there. Well, I'd like to actually work it into the the actual production. Like, okay. I just have the guy. He stands there by the fountain when the limo door opens and the chick runs out.
Like the idol track.
Yeah, exactly. For the first looks. Yeah,
exactly. Right. And no chick's going to say, like, if you go, hey, this is my German Shepherd, Rex, no one's going to go, wait a minute, is that a venereal sniffing crotch dog?
They're
just
going to
go,
that.
Oh my God, I love dogs. Yep. And when Rex does the move where he lifts the one paw and swipes it twice or chases his tail or whatever.
She has chlamydia.
We know. Now, look. All I need to know is then I go, oh, hey, listen, I really feel like I've only known you for about 18 seconds, but I feel like there's a bond here. Let me give you a special concert bracelet. This is an all access pass to my groin. And right. I put the bracelet on him, right?
Yeah.
Right? Or we go the other way right. with the bracelet.
Yeah.
It's a scarlet letter. But either way, then when the rose ceremony comes out, I'm like, all right, everyone raise their right hand and take the oath to love me. And I see the bracelets. I work it that way.
Yeah. All green bracelets come up front.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Speaking of healthcare, Hims, man, 65% of men start losing their hair by the age of 35. For Hims.com. One-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Generic equivalents of the name brand prescriptions that help you keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements here. No waiting room or awkward doctors. Our listeners get a trial of Hims for just $5. That's right. Try a month for just $5 while supplies last. It costs hundreds if you went to the pharmacy and, you know, some things you want to keep a little more discreet. So go to forhims.com/M. That's forhims.com/Adams. Forhims.com/Adam and get on that surprise. Yeah.
Do you remember a couple years ago this like cat of death that was in the news everywhere that lived at this nursing home? And if the cat visited one of the people in the nursing home, the person would end up dying like the day or the day after.
Made a movie.
Yeah.
And it's real. And they thought, oh God, we got to get rid of this cat. It's killing people. And then they realized, as you have, that the cat had been picking up on some sort of scent, some sort of pheromone that apparently is released right before you die.
It's almost lunch.
I was going to say comfort the person.
Off. Oh, yeah. I see. Right.
But they thought, you know, us superstitious natives thought that the cat was killing people.
Right.
But really, the cat was picking up on a scent that somebody was at the end of their journey.
Well, here's where I was as a super uneducated person. I'd figured out by the time I was announcing this at age 33 that everything had a scent. And there was stuff we knew, you know, we know garlic and blue cheese, but evidently dogs will tell you everything has a scent. You know, I didn't.
All the information.
Even dogs can smell fear from Jerry Maguire. Yeah.
I would hear stories about dogs sniffing pot in car fenders that were welded in with coffee grounds to hide the scent. They would still smell it. Smelling gunpowder or, you know, bombs or bomb making.
Explosive.
Like, I started realizing everything had a scent to a dog. And if everything had a scent, then surely like a biological event that was going on in your body. And we all did the math on, oh, that's a stinky, pussy, you know, infection or whatever. Like you'd smell like
that.
If you had a cut in your hand, it got infected or something, you could smell it and people would smell stuff like Civil War times, right? Like, hey, is gangrene set in? A doctor, give it a sniff. If it didn't smell right, you have to cut the guy's leg off, right? So I sort of, with all that in mind, went, well, why not dogs? Yep. And
Here we are.
Max Brown, you can tell us if you found anything about that. I'll also, we got some phone calls up here. So
dogs, earlier, they started off being able to tell if someone's blood sugar was low. Like, so if you have diabetes, you have a diabetes dog that kind of panics when your blood sugar is getting low. Now, if all goes according to plan, you just have to breathe into a tube, which goes into the dog's nose, and they'll tell you if your cancer has returned.
Damn.
And things like that.
Jesus.
Okay.
Step forward and step backward.
Do I get my statue?
Yeah.
Or why not listen to me if I start talking about stuff that may take place in another 20 years?
Because this is more,
start now.
Because it's more aggravating.
You think I got all of being right out of my system in my early 30s?
Well, thank God that's over.
Okay. You think? I mean, I just sit around. I talk to goddamn politicians at Mark Garagos' house, and I go, "There's garbage everywhere," and they're like, "Yeah," and I go, "It's all construction material," and they go, "Yeah."
What are you gonna do?
It's horrible. And I go, "Yeah, you know who's dropping off? No, we don't know. It's illegals who are doing demos on bootlegged projects, I go, they're dumping it because the dump costs $80, and they're like, "Yeah, it's expensive," and I'm like, "Why don't you hand out vouchers at the Home Depot and tell them they can bring it to the dump for free?" And they're like, "What? Oh, we could do that." I'm like, "Yes, you could do that." And they go, "Oh,
gotta go.
Oh, that's a good idea." Now, they never implement it because they don't give a shit. But
it's a memento situation where they forget about it 8 seconds
later. Right, but it's still
tattoo it on your arm.
I don't know. What do you do for a living? What's your job? I yell on a podcast and then work on cars. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but that's how it'll work. All right, Isaac, 40, San Diego.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to my buddy. He's a teacher here in San Diego, and their contract is will expire in July. But their new contract starts in August, and what amazes me is that in their new contract, they'll have 11 days in the calendar year for mental health days. So they get those days off. So it equates to about one day a month.
Damn. Of mental health days. Yeah, you know, everybody with the teachers are heroes. As I've always said, the funniest thing that ever happened is I was on stage with somebody. It may have been Dennis Prager, but it may have been somebody else. And it was like an auditorium of 1,000 people. And he said, everyone raise your hand if you had a teacher that really changed your life, that really made an impact and whatever. And most of the people raised their hand. And then he said, "Now, keep your hand up if you had two good teachers." And everyone just put their hand down because it's like, yeah, we just had Mr. Backus from the fifth grade. And then that was about it. Everyone else was horrible after that. And again, when you're doing the teachers are heroes thing, compare your schedule and your job and your obligations to theirs. Is anyone here? Everyone raise their hand if they get 3 months off for the summer. Okay, everyone raised their hand if wherever they work celebrates every holiday, and before that holiday, you have lots of half days on Fridays, and then lots of built-in personal days and sick days and whatever days, and then another big fat break in the middle for one for Christmas and one for Easter. Where like, Christmas and Easter, you know, Easter isn't, well, we take the Friday off before the Sunday. No, Easter's just like a big fat chunk in the middle of everything. All right, if anyone else has all of that and can retire at a certain age and get full benefits and everything, you tell me. And the deal with the, these people don't get paid enough. No one would get paid enough under those conditions. If you want a job where you don't work for 3 months in the summertime, you're not going to get paid. That's it. You made a choice. You've tapped out of life. Sorry, Isaac. I mean, to Isaac's friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's fine. He gets summers off. So don't even worry about it.
And a mental health day.
Yeah. The only better schedule is firemen. Firemen's like, I wanted to be a fireman because I was like, what is... I found out that firemen is like 3 days on, 4 days off. And they count you sleeping. Like, you're there. Yeah, you're just there eating free food and playing foosball.
Eating chili.
Yeah. Thanks, Isaac.
You bet, guys.
Let's see. Somebody, one other thing. Peter, 26, Covina. Peter?
Ace. What's going on? How's it going?
Hi. Hey, man.
Well, yeah. First of all, I work in manufacturing, and we get no holidays from New Year's to Memorial Day. So, yeah, having a couple weeks off, I'd make a little less money as well. I called because you guys have been playing commercials for Bands in the Sand this weekend, brought to you by Corolla Drinks. And I just wanted to reiterate and give a little bit more details because I'm really, really looking forward to this. I've seen the Smoke and Kills in Loxy before, and Smoke and Kills is going to be perfect on the beach. Loxy will rock your face off. So 1 p.m., Sea Legs at the beach in Huntington, not the wine bar, Sea Legs at the beach.
Hold on. I'm looking at Max Apana and Dawson right now. If I step out of the studio and go to the back of this warehouse, am I looking at a guy talking to a cell phone, bent over with his hand cupped over his face, who's going to run?
Don't do us, Peter.
He's going to run out the door. He's going to make a move for Dawson's truck and then go like, oh, shit, no, that no. And then he's going to go down the street.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen if I step out of the studio right now? Is Alonzo Bowden back there? Yell at Alonzo if there's a dude who's squatted down talking into a phone with his back turned to me.
I'm hiding behind one of the toilets out in front of your warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Likely story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, Peter. Go ahead.
Continue telling us all the ins and outs.
Mm-hmm. So
no,
you're going
to... Go ahead.
Yeah, you're going to...
Use promo code Peter.
Yeah, promo code Peter.
This Saturday.
The microphone at the top.
Yeah, it's a free show. And
yeah, free show. And I got confirmation from Dawson that all ages are welcome. I'm inviting my buddy and his kids. I think it'd be great to bring the kids out, expose them to good music. Nice. It's good music. It's going to be Corolla drinks, Endless Rant, IPA and lager, and Mangria. So everyone come out and party at the beach. It's going to be awesome.
We got to get Peter in a sandwich board.
Oh, he's had a big hit in the 80s. Peter Schilling.
Peter Schilling. Good Peter call. Schilling. Buddy, no, don't
even
say it.
Oh, okay. Like, hold on.
The Schill. Peter Schilling. Is your last name Schilling?
That's my middle name.
Yeah. Peter Schill. Ing.
I love this song.
So says Peter, 26, from Covina.
Come on, you all know it.
I know.
You all know it. It's a Tool tune. This song rules.
Peter Schilling's only hit?
Yeah, I think so.
Also, I don't know how cool it was to just go like, I'm kind of basically going to do David Bowie's song.
Is this a sequel with the same character?
I should talk to Alonzo Bowden about that. Like, do you have any jokes? And I'll just kind of do the sequel to them.
Upcycle.
So Women Be Shopping, that's your thing. But what if I do Women Be Shopping 2?
Women Be Returning. Women Be Exchanging.
We were returning from Costco.
Exchanging for credit.
Yeah, that's good. All systems are go. Are you sure? Control
is not convinced. But the computer. Jenny, you know the song for sure.
So far, it sucks.
It picks up.
You don't know this song?
No, I don't think so.
Gina, you will. I know you're just a youngin', but come on now. How can you not know this song?
I'm here with a brilliant hook.
Chris?
I don't know this song.
You
do.
Trust me.
How do you avoid this song?
Wait for the hook.
Number 14 on the Hot 100.
Hold on. Wait for it.
You know what? What's confusing to me about songs? How people go, never heard it. Oh, yeah, I know this one. How's that work?
Yeah.
I know we're getting to the hook, but how did you miss the first part?
This is the only part that I've ever heard.
You know my batting average on telling people when they go, I've never heard this song before, and I go, you definitely heard about it. 1,020% is my batting average when I tell you it never kicks in and have people go, still nothing. Oh, no.
And you're like, we know the song. You'll sing along with the chorus.
A lot of these hooks are in commercials. You'd never hear anything but 15 seconds of
it. Liar.
All right.
Excuse for the week for the Jew Shark. Now, you know this song. You've heard that beginning part, too. You just didn't connect it. It's
going
to be literally impossible for you not to hear the beginning part. You just never... You didn't put the two together, and Brian and I are geniuses.
Okay.
Thank you. And you're weak. All right. Yeah. It's true.
But you guys also like this song.
Nah. You have no idea how many songs I hate that I know. Almost everything from every...
You guys said it was a Tool tune.
No, I don't.
You shouldn't have this blasting from your car at a stop sign, but this is a great song.
I don't like it as much as Brian because I looked at it as sort of just a ripoff of Bowie.
Yeah, I came into the song in my 20s.
This part is, you know, and it has kind of a good, it has a good end where it kicks up a few octaves and whatever. All right, but you wouldn't know about that.
I wouldn't know about that.
All right. We got pictures of the other shop so I can yell about it. Well, now we got pictures of me laying the blue suit over the red suit. But you can see bags to the right and suits to the left and Sparco bags and stuff. It's just my area with all the stuff I spread out.
And this is, like, usually this place is really clean, so it's weird walking by and seeing a bunch of stuff piled up.
Bring it home, Peter!
And everyone walks past all this stuff all day. That's the part that makes it... Triply retardo. All right. Lonzo Bowden is out there.
Thanks for that.
We had a... that was nice. I kind of like that part. All right. I'll tell you about the Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your Castrol Challenge. You got questions for the Castrol Challenge. You're brought to you by Castrol Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction and maximizes engine performance. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown and leading full synthetic. What do you got, Max Pata?
All right. At Daniel Wheatley on Twitter writes hashtag Castrol Challenge. What is the single car job every guy or gal should be able to accomplish at home?
You know, in these days where the engine's all kind of buttoned up and we don't have to touch anything, and the transmission is all buttoned up, we don't have to like change the fluid. There used to be a lot of fluid changing,
flushing.
And discussing about flushing, and everything is kind of buttoned up and self-contained. Cars are sort of turning into phones and computers. They're not meant to open up right. And fiddle around with. You know, stuff used to have backs on them, and the backs had screws, and you'd be like, the TV's not working. Well, maybe it's a tube.
No.
back off.
Something's wrong. You take it to the dealer or whoever, and they plug it in, and the computer tells you what's wrong with it.
Yeah. They certainly have designed it for you not to open it up and monkey around with it. They have a design obsolescence, I guess. And they kind of, there's a little business too. You got to turn over and get a new one.
Right.
You know, it's a weird thing because it's now like, you're better off just getting a new one. It's cheaper to get a new one. Mm-hmm. I wonder who started that trend. Yeah. It's cheaper to get a new one than it is to fix the old one. But either way, cars used to get opened up. No reason to do any of that today. But the one thing that's never changed, especially in this podcaster's life, is flat tires.
I was going to say,
everybody gets flat tires.
I taught Christy how to do that. I'm pretty junior when it comes to car stuff, but I had to teach Christy at some point. Like, you're going to need to fill up your tires every 6-8 months or whatever.
Yeah, I have a compressor at the house, and funny, I had... Lynette, this all makes sense in a second. Lynette was using it the other day.
Bruce is in town?
Better, more on brand. Huge kids pool party needed to blow up the wedges of pizza that cost me $40
now we're talking.
On Perfect. The internet. So, no, we're back to...
Wedges of pizza.
we're back to Earth here with Major Tom. Yeah. All right.
Coming home.
But the thing that was funny is every couple of... Every 9 uses of an air compressor. Well, they're supposed to do it every use of an air. Alonzo Bowden will tell you. But there's a spit valve on the bottom of them. It's got a little butterfly thing, and you pop it open, and the air compressor just gases out because water collects in it, and it'll rust out. So you don't have to maintain your car, but you do have to bleed out that air compressor every so often. So what I'll do... as the only one who uses the air compressor, is I'll open the butterfly valve at the bottom every once in a while. The thing will just go and just spit out and little speckles of water and I'll leave because I don't have to sit there and watch it. Mm. You know, it's like I'll open it and I'll go into the house. Well, I'll come out and shut it when I'm going to use it again.
Uh-oh.
Lynette didn't know it was open. So
she's like, why is this thing working?
Why can't I get this pizza blown up? So I had to go out and...
Universal lament. Why can't I get this pizza wedge blown up?
So that could have been on me. Either way...
I think most people don't know, especially in California, at least in California, at the gas station, the air compressor, which for those of us who don't have air compressor at home, is free if you're getting gas. Just walk right in and say, hey, I'm getting gas. Can you turn that on?
Yeah. Most places are just free.
Yeah. Why don't you try that? Pretend we're at the Arco and Silmar.
Oh, hey man, I'm getting
what
gas.
What is?
I'm filling up.
What is?
I'm on number eight. Yeah.
Number 11.
Mike. No, I'm on number 8.
Let's turn around. Okay. Number 11. No, eight is no good.
I mean, it's filling up as we speak. I'm just
it's
get,
no good.
I want to get some air in my tires afterwards.
You want
so
king size Snickers bar?
No. It does look good. No, but I'm just going to get some air. It's gonna turn on the. Could you mind turning on the
air? Talk into glass.
I am. Okay, sorry. Can you please turn on the air
what
compressor?
What is?
Air compressor.
No.
Air compressor.
We have no air.
Turn it on.
No air.
California law.
No air. You use pump 11. Hold on. Where is my... Where did she come? You want cigarette? Do you want the energy drink?
No, nope, just need air. Just need air.
No air. We're out of air.
Wall. You have to do it.
No bathroom, no air. No bathroom, no air.
I'm out of here.
Thank you. Come again. Don't come again.
So if you're...
Use pump 11.
If you're not that Arco, you
should be pump 11.
Silmar, feel free.
Yeah, that's how it's going to go. Go to the Arco and Silmar and go, excuse me, kind sir. I'd like some free compressed air. See how that works. We took the people who speak the least English and are angriest most at Americans and gave them all the gas stations and then want to know why there's a problem when we come in and go, hey, the squeegee bucket's looking a little... get out of here!
These tokens for the...
Yeah. Good luck with the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing in the world when you leave L.A. If you leave L.A. and you're, like, traveling through Wisconsin, and you, like, walk in, and there's some fat blonde chicks. She's like, hi! And you, like, go, hey, I don't have any cash, but I just want to use the bathroom. Yeah, it's right back there. Go ahead. Yeah. Like, you go, well, okay,
you
what's
around,
going
what's
on?
The like, yeah,
what's the scam?
Yeah.
What's the scam? Why aren't you yelling at me? How
have
come
a
you're
blessed
not-
day!
Give me a stink eye. I had the guy who owned... the Arco down at the bottom of the hill when I lived up on Hollywood land there. Union 76. Union 76 ran a whole campaign in the mid-90s about sudsy water.
Yeah,
we have squeegees and sudsy water. Like they didn't say get some gas, buy an energy bar. Oh, and by the by, we have squeegees and sudsy. They had a campaign that was sudsy water.
Stop on by.
And I'm a clean windshield guy. I'm not that nutty with the cleaning of the car, but I do believe that whatever you're looking through, your world just sort of comes through that windshield. And when it's all streaky and bad, when you get into someone's car and it's all gummed up, you're kind of like
settling.
What's going on? So I had a habit of filling up the car down at the bottom, and then and I also am wired to, when that car is being filled up for that 4.5 minutes, that's a wild waste of my time. Mm-hmm. Like, I must be doing something. And I'll clean out my car sometimes or whatever.
Just a waste of my time.
But the squeegee, that's my windshield time.
Good time for it.
This guy, the thing was bone dry. It was like black. It was a small puddle of black, what looks like what's at the bottom of a coffee pot on when you come in Monday morning and the guy on Friday never rinsed it out. Like, that was at the bottom of it. And I like would say to the guy, you understand 76 is running a campaign just based on the squeegees and the sudsy water, and you have it. He's like, get out of here. Like, he would yell at me.
How dare you?
Also, he liked to do this thing where it's like if you bought a candy bar or a pack of cigarettes or so, everything was through the bulletproof glass. You'd give him the $5, you'd get your Snickers bar, and he'd just look at you and slide your $4.10 back, and he'd just keep looking at you. And I'd go like, thank you, have a good day, and he'd just keep staring at you. And at some point, I used to have fun with him, which is like he'd just be staring at me through the glass.
Is that a Martin Lewis thing going on?
Yeah, and I'd buy like a candy bar or something, and I'd just keep looking at him, and I would like slowly tear the top off, and I'd just drop it, and then I'd pull it out of its sheath, and I'd just drop it, and I'd just look at him the whole time, and I'd walk back to my car. But he was a total dick.
Close-ups on your eyes.
They both squint.
What a douche. All right. Alonzo is out there. We'll talk to him in a second. All right. Oh, and get some Castrol Edge.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Change your... change that car, man. It's such a weird wiring. Everyone's going to get a flat. Look, anyone who's listening who's 37 and white, the number one chance you got of buying it is by the side of that road changing that flat. That's number one for you. It's not gunfire. It's not domestic violence. It's not cancer. It's like you're going to buy it on the road.
You know what's something that should be eliminated but is strangely like happens a lot is dead batteries. I think it's because when valets return your car after the sun has gone down, they don't know. You know, they switched. I had this happen to Christy. I've happened to friends where they switch it on. You think it's on auto. You pull up and park. You go in for the night. Car's battery's still on, or the lights are still on. Come out in the morning. It's dead.
I'll tell you why that's exacerbated. Yes, Ann! Because the new cars have a thing where the lights stay on for 40 seconds or a minute as you walk into the house. So in the past,
the light being on is no big thing.
When I remember, you know, when I was a kid and we drove cars from the 60s and the 70s and whatever, it'd be like, if you're like heading, you got two steps, lights are on, your lights are on, and someone start yelling at you from another house or something. Like, hey, your lights are on, you left your lights on. And it'd be like, people would walk into restaurants and go, there's a Dodge Dart out in the parking lot. Somebody, the lights are on.
How many
now,
times,
who is that?
How many times are we at an event, a recital, a bingo game, or whatever, and there'd be an announcer from the, by the way, and I was driving a blue Dodge. Your
dumb headlights. Light.
Yeah, exactly. They're always.
It was a whole, when I was telling you guys, it was always funny that the Ford Granada ad campaign from the early 80s, late 70s was based on people mistaking it for a Mercedes, which is like, hey, I don't know how you pitch that, but Ford Granada, like it would be a crazy, I'd like to be the guy who pitched that idea to Edsel Ford or Henry Ford III or whoever. Just like, hey, you know how Mercedes is a precision craft road machine? Yeah. You know how you guys make a pile of shit? Right. Okay. Here's the angle.
It's kind of 80s Mercedes looking.
How do you pitch that, though? Like, somebody had to pitch that. Like, what if we did it with your wife? Yeah. She sort of looks like Becky Ann if you squint. Yeah. You know, the hot one?
I was thinking we'd emphasize her good qualities. You know, things like really caring, giving pleasure.
Yeah, we're us. So what we're going to focus on is mistaking it for another car.
We know she's defective.
Well, we're $4,000 cheaper, so that should get Dumbos in here. There was a whole commercial, the whole campaign was comparing it to a better car.
Wow.
And one of the commercials was like the guy going, hey, with the owner of the Mercedes who left their lights on, like, I was like, that's a Ford Granada. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's you know, he just picked that up a little bit, not the same. That's ridiculous. Is a Buick. Like, I'm out here by the Buick. You see those commercials? I'm standing right by the Buick. Where are you? I'm looking around. I'm right here inside the Buick. It's like, oh, no, it's such a good car, you wouldn't know it was a Buick.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a weird thing. It's like, oh, no, our cars are good now.
Yeah.
Cars look nice.
A little tongue in cheek.
Yeah. Why don't we start a new campaign over here for ACS, which we'll call Almost as Good as Marc Maron. Okay?
You might mistake it for Marc Maron.
Hey, that's funny. Are you listening to WTF? No.
Hey, Adam, didn't you have Obama on?
Hold on. Maybe I have a point. Jesus Christ. You're right.
Shit.
Can we cut this
Joe
out?
Rogan. Did you have Obama?
No, he didn't.
Okay, well, let's go with that then.
Nerdist is gone, right?
It is kind of a weird. There is physically a commercial that the Maxipata will find where it's being mistaken for whatever. That's I've showed it to you guys before. I can't remember now. The deeper dive is going to be the one where you find the one where it's leaving the lights on, but you might find the Granada commercial.
There are a few of them. There's one where like a guy's getting into all these different cars, thinking it's his Granada. Like, no, this is a Mercedes. No, this is a Cadillac.
Well, in a world now in 2018, when because of the wind tunnel and because of the computer, the Jag does look a lot like a Ford because it's shaped by the same computer. But this is when cars did look different. And I don't know how drunk you'd have to be to get into other people's cars, especially when one had the big Mercedes emblem on the front. Literally had a 3-inch circle. Yeah. Of chrome tacked onto the hood.
Yeah.
I don't
Telling
know
exactly
how drunk you'd have to be to climb into that car.
I miss hood ornaments.
Thinking it's your Granada. I agree. All right. Max Pat, you can look for that. I'll tell you about in the heat. Had a fan who always sends me video messages, and he wanted to know about, I favorite tweeted it, Max Pat, but he wanted to know worst jobs. And he was talking about the heat, and what's his name again?
Phil Oakley.
Phil Oakley, good guy. Always
sends
me these.
Only one bald guy on this show, Phil.
He sends me these nice little messages, but we'll play Phil Oakley's message to me, and then I'll tell you why, what he missed out on.
Hey Adam, maybe for a segment, since it's been so damn hot outside, worst jobs to work in the heat. It's gotta be roofing. I've done that. It's got to be working over a grill. I've done that in August. I got to think about it. But just an idea.
Well, you've done both of those.
Yeah.
Outside's tough because you're outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an element. There's a big.
No, sorry, what I mean is, it's
let
hard
me write
for it to
that.
Be.
Hold on. Yeah. Slow down. Repeat that last statement.
I should do this for myself.
Yeah.
Outside.
It's tough. Because you're outside.
And what does a toaster oven do again? Just as long as I'm picking your brain.
It's an oven.
unique it's observations on. So it's an oven that toasts, you say? Oh, I had it backwards. I called it a toaster oven.
Observational style of humor as the show goes on.
All right, sorry. A skull cap you'd put where? I'm sorry.
I mean, traditionally.
any appendage.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
What I was saying is it's hard to be the worst if it's outside because at least you're not, you know, the grill is one thing is exacerbating the heat. It's heat on heat. At least outside, you're, you know, you just catch a breeze here and there.
Yes. I have done all horrible jobs involving heat in this godforsaken San Fernando Valley. And what people never really factor in, they just focus on the heat. So they go, oh, well, here's a guy. He's on the roof. It's hot. You know, he's standing in front of the grill. Yeah. It's hot. He's out on the road doing road work. It's hot. That road crew, man, that's hot. What you guys don't realize is heat is a lot of it, but mess and dust is a much bigger part, or at least an equally large part that creates dread. When it's hot, and it's hot and there's no air conditioning on any, you know, when I used to do earthquake rehab, I would go into units, single units that were from the 20s. Mm-hmm. And there was no air conditioning in those units. And you're confined and your deal is you're going to tear out that wall because we need to shear wall that wall and put HDs and all thread and hold downs. And that's what an HD is, and shear anchors and tension anchors and blah, 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 blah. You real carpenter, Adam? You just making that stuff up? Yeah. As I say to people, like, go ahead, make something up. Just riff it. Two by thingy? Yeah. Like, okay, that's as far as we got. Now ask me to riff on computers.
Riff on computers.
DOS. Syn operating system.
DOS.
I don't keyboard like I'd be sussed out. You'd sniff me out pretty quick.
Yep.
It's hard to do that. Yeah, have me pretend to speak Japanese. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. So, hey, yes, real carpenter. You would go into this person's kitchen, right? And it was a mini little kitchen with a mini little single unit and a mini little bathroom. They're all the same,
but kept up well.
Buckets of fecal matter in some cases.
You
would go into this kitchen, and the kitchen was tiny. Mm-hmm. But guess what? And there was no air, and there's no ventilation, and there's no fans, and it was hot. But then you'd have to put plastic up in front of the kitchen door because you couldn't let the dust go into the living room where the carpet was. So you go into this little confined area, and you put plastic up where no windows, no ventilation, put plastic up where the door, the only source where air could come in, you'd plastic it off. Then you start busting out 80-year-old plaster, which just turns into, it just is weaponized the second you hit it with a pickaxe. And then not only do that, but you're prying it off with like a pickaxe. As you pop it off, it just pops into the air. Now you got a choice. You're covered with sweat. Your head is covered with sweat. And all of this muck is, all this fine powder is sticking to your face. But you don't want to breathe it in. So you get a paper mask. And now you put the mask on. And now you suck in your hot breath. God. And if somebody said, would you like to get on the roof? You'd go, I will definitely get on the roof 100%. To escape this. Because I can put a big hat on and go up on the roof and take my shirt off or something. And I can breathe. Yep. The breathing. When I had to take down the dividing wall in a racquetball court, it's the only job of any of the jobs I've ever had in my life where after, because I had such low self-esteem, I'd just do anything. It didn't matter how dangerous or dusty or sad or whatever. You know, there was no checking for asbestos or lead or anything. Just go get in there, tense yourself off, and just breathe asbestos and lead. Who cares? This job of taking down the dividing wall between two racquetball centers, courts, we had to plastic everything off so no air could get out and pollute the rest of the thing. And then you'd have to go into this polluted tent with no, we had to cut off the air and cut everything off. And then you had to get a jackhammer and go up to the top, to the ceiling, and lay on scaffolding with a jackhammer. And jackhammers shoot air out. The ones that have the compressors, they shoot air out as you're doing it. And jackhammer laying on our bellies on scaffolding the top of this cement-filled cinder block wall that was in between the two of them was a bearing wall. So we had to shore up the ceiling.
Jesus.
After 2 days of that, or 3 or 4 days of it at, you know, $8 an hour, just laying there on my stomach. You could either be on your stomach on top of the scaffolding with the jackhammer, or you could be at the bottom avoiding big chunks of concrete that fell off of this thing and cleaning it up and wheelbarrowing it out to the parking lot in the San Fernando Valley. That was the only job I went, I'm just not coming. I'm not doing this anymore. Like I've done, I think I did probably a week on this, and I just went, I can't do it anymore. You got to send me to another job. Yeah. And I somehow I must have been good enough where they went like, well, you know, we don't have anything else. And I was like, then that's it. I can't do this. It's too dangerous. It's too dirty. It's too hot. It's too everything. And they sent me to another job to be miserable. But it's the only time I just like said, no mas.
Tapped out.
I thought I had one, but your stories always make me realize that it was pretty fine. But
also, you should always be angry at my parents, by the way, when you hear these stories, because that's where young Will Rogers was. Just laying on scaffolding with a bunch of illegals busting stuff out. And it was like dangerous and weird, and it didn't pay anything. And it's like, I don't know why.
OSHA problem.
Someone should have tapped me on the shoulder at some point and just went, what the fuck? What's the plan?
Like, you worked with a young Will Rogers?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was a window caulker for 2 summers.
Oh, yeah. Really? They just press it up against the window,
you. Yep,
and you'd show them your tits. Yeah. And how does that work?
Yeah, that's exactly. It's like you were there. Were you there?
I've seen pictures on the ultra web, but I don't know. But you just press your titties against the glass, and then they press their
cocks, cockers.
Cock.
Okay.
Cock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they figured out that this some Amway style company figured out if they could get college kids to paint houses all summer, they'd take most of the money. Mm-hmm. So we all fell for it and had big rolling brushes. And I got assigned to window caulking, and I did that for 2 months.
Rolling brushes.
I didn't do that one very often.
Either a roller or a brush. But that's good.
The thing but that yeah, the you got it. You got it. And then on the fucking wall.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's a roller. Do they, so you get good at that?
No.
Oh. I had some gigs for you.
Pass the time.
So there's a little art to it. You need a
there
little
is,
water.
Actually.
You need a wet rag. It's one of those things where they have a lot of little devices, but nothing works better than your finger. Terms of smoothing it out, if the Alex's like 35-year painter's caulk, siliconized now and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They just said, here, go seal that window.
Yeah, it works, man. It ties it all in. And if you're good, they'll do it on the top. They have indoor, they have outdoor. They'll do it on the top of base. But it molds everything there. Dawson?
My worst summer job was installing kitchen appliances. And when it gets hot in the East Bay area, you get a stretch of like 107, 108 over like 3-4 days. And the worst is when someone would buy a new refrigerator. And I got to run a water line under the house
to the
fridge. So not only are you in jeans and a, you know, heavy shirt for work, but now you got to put on the coveralls.
Mm.
Then you got to crawl under a house with the black widows and the heat and the confined space and the dirt. And it's miserable.
Like fear factor.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, but the one thing you can say is it's cooler under the house.
It was not.
It is. You got no choice. It's cooler than it. If you go in the attic, you'll die. If you go in the middle, it's whatever. And I've crawled under 10,000 houses. It's marginally cooler just by definite. It has to be because it's under and there's no exposure or anything. But it's not. It's still shit. It's still miserable. But in the heat index, you go up. Like when you talk to guys who did like HVAC work, I think the Queens of the Stone Age, I think those guys did like HVAC work in Palm Springs. And it's like, what would it be like in July and stuff? They'd be like, well, any place where they go, oh, you have to start at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like any of those jobs where you go, no, you work from 3 a.m. to the sun comes up and then everyone goes
and then
home.
You're done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad times. Mm. All right. Sorry for being a down rounder, Dawson. but it's still miserable.
I guess. The other miserable end to that was when, like, if we're replacing someone's hood over the oven.
Yeah, the vent. Yeah.
The vent. And they had been cooking on it for 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
And you pull that thing out, and it is stuck with old vegetable oil. I actually threw up one time taking one of those down.
There were a couple dudes, I know, that when I said clean carpet, the guy I cleaned carpet with, he's like, we got to get into flue cleaning. I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome.
And then he's
like, you know where the money is? Aquarium cleaning. And I was like 19 going, yeah, man. I got to clean it.
Because people throw coins in there?
I have no idea what was going on. But the money's in the aquarium, so we should branch out into flu cleaning. And I was like, why don't I just kill myself? Like, we'll take the van and just drive it into a semi-truck, and then we'll both enjoy ourselves marginally more than we would if we got into flu cleaning. I used to go into people's... Well, that's the thing. When you'd go into these units and you'd take apart their kitchens... These guys are old and they just cooked with lard.
Yeah.
And there were dudes in there that just, you walk in and you smell lard. When you walked in, you start to gag, and then you'd have to go into the crazy person's kitchen who lived alone and dismantle the entire kitchen, because they would say, you'd look on the plans, you go, what wall do we need to shear wall? And it would be the wall with all the cabinets and the sink and the cockroaches and everything else. You'd have to take it all out, take all the plaster off, get it down to the studs, shear wall it with plywood, re-drywall it, mud and tape it, and then put all the cabinets back, as well as the sink back. That was my job.
We did a Filipino family's house.
Yeah.
And there was...
Malak! Nursing 40, shoes no, everywhere.
40 years of deep frying lumpia. And we tried to you unscrew so the vent, and so it's disgusting. Just hung up there.
Chris just left.
By the... No screws. It's still hanging up there.
By
just
lard.
Attached by lard.
By lack! Sad. All right. Speaking of Balak, Alonzo Bowden is coming in a second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Today's show is brought to you by Simply Safe Home Security. Ever looked for a security system? Complicated, expensive, terrible contracts. Simply Safe. Oh, man. That's what a home security system should be. Great protection, ridiculously easy to use at a great price. We all have it here. Dawson.
I just got it.
Oh, Gina Grant's got it. Yay.
I'm so excited.
Garrigus has it. MexPat has it. I have it. Engineered to keep working during power outages, down Wi-Fi, burglar smashes your keypad. Oh, it's all good. You stay. It's beautiful. You don't even notice it. It's great design. And bulletproof. Batteries last up to 10 years. Peel and stick, no pulling wires, no drilling holes, no crawling under the house with Dawson. Yeah. Nope. Mm-mm. And you can order a Simply Safe security system today. Do it. It's Simply Safe. And you do that. We'll donate one to a family need. You know, those people live in tough neighborhoods. They could use a little security, but they don't have money. So do the right thing. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. That is two I's in there. Simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, us, Thousand Oaks, Borderline Bar and Grill, coming up July 27th. We're doing a live podcast there, and we're doing a Corolla drinks and tasting and live music as well. It's going to be a whole Corolla event over there. Alonzo Bowden, my dear friend Alonzo Bowden, is out there. Excited to talk to him. Fellow gearhead. That guy's a real gearhead. We'll take a quickie break. We'll do good sports, and then we'll have Alonzo right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. After a little delay, we're back with Good Sports on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, how are we? How's summer going? We've transcended the middle part of the 2018. Can you believe it? Christmas is on the way.
Well, you got to ask yourself at this juncture, Dave, how are you going to beat the heat?
That's a good question. I remember the Def Rat guy asked me that.
He always wanted to know. That's his one question was, how are we going to beat the heat? And I never really felt like I had a satisfactory answer.
Well, he also speculate, or he would often inquire, are we talking about Ashley from the Tri-Delts or Ashley with the shaved bush?
Yeah.
That was the other question.
The two
asked,
things. And then very worried when he realized if we don't clean up those pumpkins,
that's right. Yeah.
The Delts are going to do a dance on our faces.
That's right. That's right. Man, yeah, that was a fascinating melodrama that that Mav and company laid out for us. Hey, speaking of the heat, here's a question. And by the way, we threw it out a week ago to everybody and everybody listening. Much obliged for the keen response there. We asked for some more win play shows, some head to head, some overrated underrateds, and you bring up the heat. Let me start with this one, actually. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Mm-hmm. You choose this one.
Mm-hmm.
Head-to-head. Pool versus ocean.
Mm.
And if you want to throw a lake in there, we can make it a win-place show.
Mm. I got to say, I like the idea of a lake more than the execution of a lake. And a lake seems good, featured in a lot of craft beer commercials, good-looking chicks. And cutoffs, willing to take that shot on the rope that sends you out over the deep end and then launch themselves. I've never actually met that woman.
She drinks Mountain Dew, apparently depicted in the ads usually. She's rope swinging.
I'm going to turn this one back on you, Shaq, and then we'll settle this. The woman that doesn't exist. I've told you, the Peloton 26-year-old model who's in the house that was featured in Architectural Digest, who's making Belgian waffles for everyone who's still asleep, but she's going to just do the Tour de France for 2 hours and sweat through her super sports bra, and then her kid comes running down the stairs, and they hug it out, and the good-looking husband is there, and there's already an omelet made for him. That woman versus the good-looking chick, but not done up, just good-looking chick who's explaining to the husband over the breakfast table, have you taken a good look at Prop 187 and really read the small print? She's hot and reading the small print of propositions. I like that woman. That woman doesn't exist. And hot chick, he doesn't care about her hair. She's getting on that rope and she's going to slide out over Lake Huron and go 30 feet in the air and dive. Top could come off. Hair could get messed up. I've never even met a chick who would go in a lake because there's always some hair discussion. Like, I know I don't want to get my hair wet. I just had it blown out. I'll sit here and watch you. I'll sit inside the cab of the truck and watch you.
I thought
you.
We were going to go out to dinner tonight. And if I
do that, my hair will get. I got a Brazilian blowout.
This is, by the way, you bring that up. That is a crazy phenomenon that I'm sure you struggle with as mightily as I do. Is this idea? And they're all over L.A. If you go to New York City, you see them everywhere. Blowout bar. And, of course, the phrase is it certainly tickles your fans. What the blowout? What happens inside those walls? I talk about the biggest disappointment. If you were to a blowout bar, I'm in. And then you walk. Wait, what goes on in here? When do they cut your hair? What part do they style your hair? Never. They just blow dry your hair.
Not since the time I found out I was going to have my wages garnished have I been so defeated upon explanation. You know what I mean? Want to get a sprig of parsley with that check?
Some cocktail sauce, if you please. Oh, wonderful.
I guarantee, and Gary, we gotta look this up. You just find an average blowout bar, Pasadena or something like this. I guarantee that my wife pays more to have her hair dried than I pay to have my hair cut.
Oh, definitely.
I pay $13. Unless there's some sort of drive-through blowout bar like that. Like they should do them like the car wash where they just put them on a conveyor belt, just push them through.
I wonder. That is, you know what? We've talked about those things that didn't, if it didn't exist 20 years ago, is it definitely an essential service that's being provided to the rest of mankind? Like consultants who go in and say, like, the way you're running your business, do it this way instead. I don't know if we need that in life.
All right. Win, play, show, lake, ocean pool. Yes, Gary.
If setting aside tips, you could get three haircuts and have money left over.
What kind of service is this?
I'm sickened by this. I didn't even want to know it. I'm sure there's very generous tipping going on.
Where are you at? I'm getting my hair dried. I mean, could there be a more passive thing that you need somebody to help you do?
Yeah. What happens when you get out of the shower? Like, who does your feet? How are you going to dry those feet?
We're on our way.
If it makes it easier, they do wash your hair before they dry it.
They do.
That's included.
I'm just saying, the amount of money that goes in and the amount of kilowatts burned, because nothing burns kilowatts like a hair dryer, just from that alone. And what about ambient heat? It's 114 degrees outside. These blowout bars are just adding to global warming. But win, place, show, lake, pool, ocean.
Ocean number one.
I love, hold on. I'm just putting them out there.
Oh, okay.
All right. I love the ocean. The problem with the ocean, and I grew up in the San Fernando Valley with no air conditioning on days like today, and it would be literally 114 degrees, dry as a bone. The Corolla houses had no air, no central air, no swimming pool, no anything. It really should have been child abuse. I would have rather been locked into a car to Costco while somebody went in and shopped, but nobody shopped. But anyway, I had to deal with that. I would make these proclamations. We're going to take the bus. We'll get to Santa Monica and we're going in the ocean. And it was like 4 or 5 bus transfers, but in 2.5 hours later, but you could get to the ocean from North Hollywood. And I would make these proclamations as I just sat like expiring in my service porch of a room with no insulation and no air condition on a day like today. I'd go, oh, when I see that ocean, I'm going to sprint. I'm going to sprint and dive into that. It's going to be like the Lipton commercial. It's going to be awesome. My core temp is going down 1,000 degrees. By the time you got off the bus on Ocean Avenue and started walking, it was 71 degrees and a little overcast. Yeah. Like, you're like, give me my sweat jacket. And it'd be like, then you'd go out to the beach and you'd get out there. Wind would be blowing. Your feet would hit the tide and be like, ooh, it's going to hurt my gnats. So the fact that the ocean, which lives in Santa Monica, Santa Monica is perpetually 70 degrees and no discomfort level at all. The place that needs the ocean is the San Fernando Valley that's checking in at 114. Santa Monica does not need it. And by the time I got to it, I was like, then it'd be like, well, I'm just going to stand out here up to my knees for a little bit and kind of acclimate myself. So
I hear you. That's the Pacific. The Atlantic is warmer.
Yes.
Generally speaking, the Pacific does have magical medicinal purpose qualities to it that after about 9 to 12 seconds, your body melds with the same temperature as the sea. And then
I love
jump
the
in
ocean. But as an adult, I'm going to say now having a very nice backyard pool, the decadent notion of sitting there and sipping on a Endless Rant IPA while floating in my pool, that's the game changer. You go to the ocean, you got the guy yelling, making you dump it out into the sand like a 7-year-old who stole a beer. You go to the lake, same thing. There's always somebody around telling you what to do and what not to do. Cranking up the tunes, floating in the pool. I'm going to go backyard pool just because of the booze and music factor. Then I'll go lake, not because I like the lake more than the ocean, but if you tell people, I went to the ocean, they go, good for you. And you go, I went to the lake. They go, tell me more. So just for the story factor, what lake? Where's this lake? How do you get to the lake?
I love the frolic in the waves.
I do too.
Frolicking in the sea is second to no other event in my, I think, or it's top five for me. But you know what? The older I get, the more I want to be away from people. And being able to stay at home and control the music and booze, like you say, I think that is the winner. All right, great stuff there. Ace, we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday episode of Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Podcast One Sports out.